Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. If I went to my seat right now, you have just gotten a word from God. Now, anybody that knows Sister Sandy knows that over the years I have preached so hard. I've preached my voice out. And I said, now, God, because I knew God wanted me to sing that. But my voice won't sing. And Pastor, you know my voice won't sing. I have to get people to help me because my voice won't sing. But you know what? When God gives me a singing word, that's what he would do when my husband was in the hospital. I mean, I'd just break out in song and it'd sound like I could sing. And then if I try to sing it again, I couldn't sing because my voice has been so used in such long sessions of prayer and then such preaching and then praying for the sick and such as that, that my voice is worn. But I'm telling you, it's still got a few more years in it. Now, I looked that song up. That's an old song. Most of you never even heard it. But it's not a song to us today. It's a word from the Lord. Now, I looked this up, and the Bible says, my telephone says this morning, that during the fearful days at the height of World War II, this comforting hymn was written. In the midst of a busy day as a housewife, Ruth K. Jones felt a direct inspiration from the Holy Spirit. She stopped her work to quickly put down both words and music just as they were given to her by God. Now, I'm telling you, God, I didn't know any of that. But when I woke up this morning, the first thing that I did, as I always do, is I greeted Jesus. And I said to him, I said, Father, you know where I am. You know where I am, and God, I'm not settled in my spirit. I don't have anything that is resting in my spirit for this church. And God, I don't want to go anywhere unless I know that I know that I know. Especially a prophetic church. I mean all churches, but especially a prophetic church. I want to make sure I have a right now, all time word from God. And God sang me that song. I haven't heard that song in probably 50 years. I don't know, but it's been years and years and years since I heard that song. But that is a word from the Lord. Now, the only other word that I had from the Lord that I knew was from the Lord today and had no idea where I was going with it is, what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? Because in times like these, church, we must know, we must absolutely know what we believe, but we must not just be hearers of the word, we must be doers of the word as well. Now, of course, we all already know this, but I want to say it anyway. Michelle, honey, take this out of my Bible. I'm sorry. It will hinder me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, that's not from me. That's from many, many years ago. Our precious Brother Hagin taught all of us that ever knew of Brother Hagin. And, you know, whatever you think of Brother Hagin, that's still a good word. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You are not going to have faith until you know what is God's will. Now, how are we ever going to know what is God's will if we do not have a revelation of Calvary's completed work? And you know what? You can go on. I just saw one day last week. I thought, I'm just going to go online and see what, because, you know, I know online's great and all that, but I try not to get into a lot of stuff like that because I want to make sure I'm hearing God, not online. You know what I'm saying? And so, but I thought, I'm just going to go online and see what does online folks, what do they say Calvary's completed work is? And Pastor, most everything that I could read on the cross was about salvation. salvation of our soul, redemption from sin. And oh my, what would we do without that part of it? Oh my goodness, because you know what? You can go to heaven sick. You can go to heaven broke, but you can't go to heaven lost. And so thank God, but you know what? I just don't want to slap Jesus in the face because of this horrible high price he paid for this great name. I don't want to slap him in the face and go to heaven sick or broke. I don't want to go to heaven without living right here on this earth the manifestation of the completed work of Calvary. But you know, and I know not in this church, but in many, many churches, they quit preaching the cross because they think that it's a defeated thing, that we need to just speak resurrection. But I'm telling you, you've got to get a revelation of Calvary. I mean, from when Jesus was with his disciples at the Last Supper, right on through to the ascension. And so, you know, that's what I'm calling Calvary's completed work. But here's what God spoke to me. He showed me when he gave me that song this morning. He showed me that it's just like the word says. It is first we see things in the natural, and then we see the spiritual. And you know, what do we see in the natural? We see terrorism. We see terrorism in the natural. Now, come on, I'm not being a defeatist here, but I'm just telling you the Bible is truth. And the Bible says that we first see things in the natural, and then we can look then in the spirit, and we'll see the same thing. And so in the natural, Pastor, we are seeing a lot of terrorist activity. And I know from personal experience, oh, thank you very much. As I know you all do, that there is a terroristic spirit that has been released against the saints of God. I'm telling you, the family of God is under terrorist attack. And these terrorist attacks in the natural, they just come from nowhere. Nobody's expecting them. I mean, you're just on the subway, or you're just at work, or you're about to have a Christmas party, or whatever, and just out of nowhere, terrorists just move in and start mowing people down. And I don't know all about you, but this is what I know. When terrorism hit me and my husband in July, it came from nowhere. We have both walked in such health all of these years. They couldn't believe it when they finally got me to tell them his age, because I was afraid they'd figure out mine. But they finally convinced me I had to give them his age. They could not believe that he wasn't on a list of medications this long, Pastor, because people our age are on medication, and depending upon medication, they said, okay, well, what over-the-counter things do you take? We said nothing. I mean, I told him, I said, he might take a one of those Tylenols every once in a while. I said, but I can't take those because they make me so drowsy and sleepy. They just affect me so harshly. You know, I can't drive if I take them. And so why would I want to take something that would affect me that way? They could not believe it. That's the kind of health that we have walked in all of these years. Why? Because years ago, we got a revelation that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Have we ever had an opportunity not to be? Well, of course, because we live in a world. But you know what? We just grab hold of the Word of God, and you know, it would be a non-issue. But Pastor, this thing was no non-issue. This was an act of terrorism. And as all acts of terrorism, we better learn this, children. We better learn this, because this is what God said to me. This is not a good idea that I got about a message. This is what God said to me. The saints of God are under terrorism. There are terrorist attacks lined up. They're plotting. The devil's plotting one right now. resist these acts of terrorism? Well, I'll tell you right now. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, I told you that faith does not even start until you know the will of God. What are you going to have faith in? If you do not know the will of God, what are you going to believe for? I hear my Bible preaching to me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you've got to know the will of God before it drops into the slot where it works. Because faith begins where the will of God is unknown. Now, Jesus said to me this morning, he sang to me this morning, in times like these, you need a Savior. Oh, you need the captain of the host, the captain of salvation. You need to get to know Jesus like you have never known Jesus before. In times like these, we need an anchor. We need an anchor. And then the writer of the song went on in the second verse, and she said, or the chorus or whatever it was, she said, that rock, she said, you need an anchor. Let me read it. In times like this, you need a Savior. In times like this, you need an anchor. You need an anchor. And then she said, you better be very sure that your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. And look here, then she said, oh, that rock is Jesus. That rock is Jesus. I hear my Bible preaching to me. Thy word, oh Lord, is truth. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus and the word, you cannot separate. You cannot call the word anything but the word. You cannot call Jesus anything but the word. You cannot divide them off from each other. You cannot separate them. Oh my goodness. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. That rock is Jesus. And I want to tell you what your anchor is, children. It's your faith in Jesus. It's your faith in that word. It don't matter what you see, because here's what I have found out. Listen, I thought my eyes had beheld some things. I absolutely thought I had seen some things. I thought I had been attacked before. I'm telling you, I've had a child to die and come back. I mean, but that was such a quick work. I mean, it was almost like, you know, but I'm telling you, when this happened to us in July, I am telling you, terrorism. But let me tell you, because I don't want to embarrass my husband. I probably won't tell this at all in the second part. We'll make sure he's not come in yet. My husband swelled so big because his lungs had two kinds of pneumonia in them, and his kidneys had completely shut down, as had his other system. All of it, his stomach had shut down, his colon, everything had shut down, everything. He had sepsis. He had AFib before he had the huge heart attack. He had AFib, he had sepsis, he had pneumonia. And then he got another kind of pneumonia because when he was on life support, he aspirated and they had to snatch him off of life support to save his life. Ain't that a mess? You know you're in bad shape when they snatch you off of life support to save your life. They said, it'll be maybe 3, 4, maybe 2 hours. I said, until he wakes up. They said, no, Miss Burris. But he was so swollen. His legs looked like tree trunks all the way down. His arms looked like pine tree stumps or, you know, trunks. He filled not a cart, but a hospital bed. Now, when he fell ill, When the enemy struck him, he weighed 232 pounds. He's tall. You'll see him here in a little bit. He's tall. My husband's 6'2", I think. And so, you know, that's not that huge a person. But I'm telling you, he filled from side to side that hospital bed. Now, Pastor, that's no easy thing to look upon. That is no easy thing to look upon. And you see, what the enemy would want me to do is to give that attention. Oh, yeah. Want me to give that attention. But I directed all of my attention to the Word of God. The promises of God. Because this I know about my God. He is a promise keeper, not a promise breaker. And you know, I just knew that about him. I don't want to get off track here. So that rock is Jesus. He is the one. And then she went on and she said, that rock is Jesus. He is the only one. Now, maybe you've never come up against that is your only hope. Because see, before long, it didn't take long for the specialist and all the intervention that the doctors could do. Nothing worked. And every day, until 2 days before I left that hospital, they would tell me, it could go either way. It could go either way. That was toward the end. At first, it was just, he's going to die. Don't get your hopes up. He's going to die. You need to make arrangements. Honey, I was making arrangements to bring him home. That's what I was doing. I was telling the kids, I want the sheets changed. Because when I bring daddy home, I want everything in order. I want somebody to go by the house and change the sheets. And I want the refrigerator cleaned out. Because when I go get him home, I'm going to cook him what he needs cooked and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's where I set my focus, was on what the Word of God said. And so that faith began because I knew the will of God. Pastor, I knew I didn't have to try to figure it out. I didn't have to try to work it out. I did not have to try to think, oh my goodness. And so when we left one hospital, they were airlifting him to Little Rock when he had that huge heart attack. Now, I'll tell you more about that maybe later, and maybe I won't. But God had my spiritual daughter here. I don't know if I had someone to call her. She called. I don't know. I don't know how it worked. I can't exactly tell you all of that part of it. But God spoke a word to her, and she said, the Lord spoke to me and say, you got to know who you pay attention to. I'm telling you, you better know who you pay attention to. And she said, or she sent a word to me through one of the children. I don't know how it got to me, but she said, God said to me, this sickness is not unto death. You remember that? Is not unto death, but for the glory of God to be revealed. Woo, my God. And then my brother-in-law, who is an Assembly of God pastor, called me. And, you know, he's a precious man. And he is the funniest fella. But he is so reserved about saying God said anything. It amazes me because the Lord just really uses him. But you can't hardly get him to say God said anything. And he called me and he said, Sandra, because that's what all my family calls me. He said, Sandra, and I could feel him quaking as he was saying it. And he said, God spoke to me and God told me that you are about to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But it's just a shadow. Oh, glory be to God. It is just a shadow. It is just a shadow. And so I hung on to that. And then my sister called me a little later on. And she said, Sandra, God spoke to me. And she's the same way. This is her husband that told me the other. She said, she's very reluctant. Although God really uses her. And she said, Sandra, God spoke to me. And said, now this was before everything shut down, broke down, shut off, cut off, all that. She said, God spoke to me and said, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Now, every one of those words are either a scripture or they line right up with the word of God. And you know what I do? What I heard? I didn't hear a word. I did not hear a word right then. But see, all these years, Pastor, all of these long years, there's my husband. Is that my husband? There he is. Come on in, honey. I can spot that man anywhere. Come on in, baby. It's a slant. Michelle, go get Dad. Michelle, go get him. Hallelujah. That is my husband. Glory to God. God, honey, that's the man that they told me for 21 days straight he'll die. Today'll be the day. Today'll be the day. Today'll be the day. Today will be the day. Today will be the day. And today is the day that he is walking into one of his favorite churches. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Victory.
Okay, yeah. Take your coat off, honey, and sit a while. Glory to God. Glory to God. The entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now I want you to join me in Hebrews. We're going to pick up right here. Join me in Hebrews chapter 11. Glory to God. I tell you, this is part of that glory. Their sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God may be revealed. In Hebrews chapter 11, this is one of our favorites. In verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible. It is absolutely impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now remember, the songwriter said, in times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Now remember, we're going to anchor up to the rock, which is Jesus, and we anchor up by faith. By faith. And the Lord plainly told us that without faith in what? Not the doctors, not man, not the banker. No, without faith in God, without faith in his word, you are never going to please God. You are never going to please God. And when you come to him in prayer, you must believe. Because if you don't believe and you just come and you ramble all this religious stuff, you will truly miss out, because you've got to get in the word to find out what the will of God is. And then you come in faith to possess the will of God. In times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. And we have to, you know, Jesus told us that unto every man, he has dealt the measure of faith. So we all start off with a measure of faith. But you know what? The wonderful thing about faith, it's like a muscle. It grows. It will grow, it will develop, it will strengthen, and it will even enlarge itself if you'll exercise it. You know, I've got these big old muscles in my legs. You know why? Because I've exercised them. I have walked for so many years, for exercise, and I have danced. I'm sorry, y'all, I've had dental work done. I keep biting my face. I have danced before the Lord in these high heels for so long, and run through airports in these high heels for so long. I have these big old heavy muscles built up in my legs. I didn't start that way. I didn't start off with these big old muscles. But you know what? They have enlarged themselves because of use. Because of use, they have enlarge themselves. And that's what faith is. It's like a muscle. And it will enlarge itself if you will use it. Glory be to God. And then the writer of Hebrews back over in 10:38 says, I want to read it. I know we know all this. Now the just, that's us, because of Calvary's completed work, justified. Those of us who are justified, that now the just shall live by faith. We live. Our lives are by faith. We our whole life is by faith. But not only that, we exercise our faith in order to live. In order to live. In order to have life, and that more abundantly. And then, I love it, Brother Paul taught us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So, not only do we live by faith, but there is a day-to-day thing that we do. Who does not walk every day? Only someone who is impaired in some way or the other. Or just hard down lazy as a dog. I don't know. But I'm telling you, all of us walk. All of us, if we just walk from the refrigerator to the chair, we walk. We walk. And so the Bible says, now that the Brother Paul brought it on down and he taught us this. You know what? Not only do you live by faith, but you walk by faith. In other words, day by day and step by step, you don't live by what you see. You are not moved by what you see. You don't pay attention to what you hear, but you walk, and you walk in the Word, and you walk this thing out, and you walk by faith. You walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I want to go on and say this. Oh, there, I said, Lord, when God said this to me this morning, I said, God, that's a strong sentence. But I never have been afraid of them before, and I'm not going to start being scared now. If you or I have not received what we are believing for, it's because our faith has not been exercised to that level yet. Yet. Because faith is a force. Faith is a force. Now remember, I read you the scripture in Psalm I think it was Brother David that wrote it. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Now, what that is talking about is not just, you know, oh, you read a verse and, oh, you've got such light. No, it's the revelation. When revelation comes, when light comes, and we know what we're talking about, and if you don't know what we're talking about, it's because you haven't experienced it yet. But have you ever just prayed and believed God and believed God and spoken the word over a situation and it would not move? It just absolutely never would move. It wouldn't move. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's because revelation of maybe even the word that you were standing on had never dropped down in your spirit because when you were praying. Because I'm telling you, when that light comes, when that word comes, it's a rhema. It's a spoken word. It's enlightenment. I mean, it's what the old folks used to call praying through. Oh, we prayed through. And you know, they just prayed and prayed and prayed maybe about a situation. And then you just knew it's done. No need to pray about that anymore. You know, when people ask me, how long do I need to pray about this? I say, you need to keep on praying. Because if you still have to ask, do I need to pray longer about this? It's because you haven't prayed it through yet. Or the entrance of that word, the revelation of word, of the word, has not yet come. So what do? You prayed maybe a year, maybe more. What do? You just keep on on exercising that faith muscle. You just keep on and you keep on. And well, I prayed for that child for years. Well, you're just going to keep on praying. I've spoken the word over that child for years. Well, you're just going to keep on speaking it. Because on a day that you're not expecting it, on a day that'll seem like any other day, oh, revelation will come. The light will come. And when light comes, darkness is dispelled. It's what the old folks used to call praying through. Well, we got that one through. That's what they'd say. Well, we got that one through. Woo! You know what? It's like giving it's like holding a steak in front of a hungry dog. Woo! I'm telling you, it just makes you want to pray some more. It just makes you want to get in the devil's face one more time. Oh, yes, it does. And so, faith, the entrance of thy word, it gives light. Oh, what do we really believe? What do we really believe? You know, and I'm not saying this is all that God's saying, and you all know me, and so, but for some time, God has been really dealing with me. Before any of this ever happened in our family or anything like that, 2 years ago, as a matter of fact, God really began to deal with me about teaching and really bearing down and ministering to the saints of God pertaining to how do you get a miracle. And he really bore down in my spirit on healing. Michelle, I told you this. I told you to pray. And even this summer, you know, I called you, Pastor. God had just dropped in my spirit. And it couldn't work out for our calendars. But I never ask anybody if I can preach. I mean, never. I do not do that. I mean, I just don't do that. Never, never. And because I just always feel like God's going to move through the pastor. But Pastor Jerry had told me one time, said, if you ever feel like you have a word, you know, you call me and everything. So I had that liberty. So I did. And it didn't work out. But I really sensed a healing anointing. You know, I really sensed a healing anointing during that time. And so I've been asking the Lord, God, why? What is this? I mean, you know, and then, you know, this, not that, but when God first began to deal with me about this, it was like a strong influence on healing. Yeah, faith to believe God for everything and believe God for family members, but especially healing. And God has just kind of been dealing with me about this. You know, your physical body or your mental or your emotional well-being is the thing, or that of your family is the thing that is in your face more than anything else. And if you can believe God for healing, you know, you can believe God for about anything else because that is in your face. You cannot get away from it. You either can't get away from the pain or you can't get away from the drain or you cannot get away from it. And it's just like God has been dealing with me about that. But you know what? We are never going to be able to believe God for health until we absolutely know what is the will of God and what do I truly believe. What do I believe? What do I believe about my situation? And so we cannot, I mean, I've got to go back to Calvary. Join me in Isaiah chapter 53. I thought there was a clock here. Oh, there it is. Oh, my. Okay. Lord have mercy. Help me, Jesus. I'm glad I hadn't seen it up until then. It's only about 32 inches. I don't know why I would have missed it. Oh, me. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know what? Thank the Lord. God knows what time it is. Isaiah 53. Join me in verse 4. The Bible says, surely. Surely. Now, do I have to say any more about that? Surely, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We already are. We're not trying to get healed. We are healed. We are healed. And we ought to have peace, because the chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus. We should not, as the saints of God, be running around like chickens with their heads cut off, wringing our hands, trying to figure out how we're going to get out from under this thing that the devil is trying to pin on us. But I'm going to tell you a word that God gave me about 3 or 4 nights ago. I woke up in the night and I was meditating on some things that I'm praying for and some things that I'm standing for. And God spoke to me and he said Jesus was pinned to that cruel cross. He was pinned. They pinned him there. They nailed him. They secured him. He was pinned on that cross so the devil couldn't pin this on you.
Hallelujah.
And I thought about, have you ever heard, criminals will say, they're trying to pin this on me. They're trying to pin this on me. And you know what? That's what we are. Except for the blood of Jesus, we're just a pack of criminals. That's what we really are. And what we deserve because of the blood, we don't get. But actually, we're a pack of criminals that deserve death, hell, and the grave. And because of the blood of Jesus, that's not what we get. And so, the enemy's trying to pin something on you, be it sickness, be it an addiction, be it sin. I'm telling you, Jesus was pinned to the cross so that the devil and all his cohorts could not pin this on us. Woo, glory be to God. Oh, my goodness. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Brother Peter looked back at the cross. We all know this. And he said, we were healed. Now we were and we are. I'm telling you, we are healed. We are healed. We're healed from every sickness, every disease, everything that is known or unknown to man. We are already healed from it. You say, well, Sister Sandy, I've been suffering in my body. Look what your husband went through. Look what our pastor went through. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Well, let me tell you, okay, I looked your way. Now you look mine. Here's what I say. This is my position on it. We already are healed. The reason my position is that is because that's what I just read you out of the Word of God. We already are healed. We're already delivered. And we're already redeemed from sin. And if you're praying for somebody that you don't see that manifested yet, I'm telling you, oh, this can blow your theology. They're redeemed too. They just haven't received it yet, Pastor.
Amen.
Jesus is not going to have to go back to Calvary for your loved one to get saved. For your family and your biological family, Michelle, they already are saved. They just don't know it yet.
Hallelujah.
But what we have to do is see the enemy and principalities and powers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. They are holding that has already been bought and paid for. They're holding that up in the second heaven. And so what we have to do is Luke 10:19. Be here, behold. Jesus said it this way. He said, behold, or look here. Look at this. Behold, I have given you power over all of the power of the enemy. Now that you think those two words power are the same, but they're not. Power, that first word power, is authority. So it could be read like this. Jesus could have said it. Jesus was saying this, but the translators. But here's how that really is spoken. Look here, or behold, or look here. Jesus said, look at this. I have given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. So give it your best shot, devil. Give it your best shot. I have authority over it. Within myself? Heavens no. Within the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, because I am a believer, I have authority. And it is just like this. It is just like this, children. It is just like this. There may be traffic out here on this highway running 100 miles an hour. There may be a car just out of control. Now, if I step out there, they'll run me down. And there'll be a horrible situation. Or even if I were to pull my car in front, you know, it could be a horrible situation. But you let a police officer, though he may be 100 pounds sopping wet, because of the uniform that he wears, he can stop that car just by doing this. And you know what? Well, let's go back a few years. 99 times out of 100, that car will stop. Why? Because of the authority of his position. Because of the authority of his position. Not because of his power, but his authority. What do you believe, church? In times like these, when spiritually speaking, there is a terroristic spirit released against us to destroy us, to take us out, what do you believe? I believe he can't do it. I believe he cannot do it. I believe he cannot do it. But I also believe he surely will do it if we, the people of God, don't settle it in our hearts and in our spirit, according to the word of God, what we believe. Stand to your feet. Now, Father, we love you. We absolutely love you to the very bottom of our being, God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love your name, Jesus. I love your name. I absolutely love your name. I love your word, Jesus. I love your word. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are a promise keeper, not a promise breaker. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need anything from Jesus today, I want you just right where you are, just lift your hands. Now, you know what? If Jesus was in this house and you ask him anything that was according to his will, you just know that he would just come and hand it over to you, don't you? It is no different. It is no different because he is here right now. He is here right now. And he is here as the all-sufficient one to supply every need. So what you have to do is you have to say, Jesus, I receive. I receive all that I need. I receive, Jesus. I believe. I believe. And I receive it right now. In Jesus' name.